out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 25th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we're going to take a break from looking at individual cases today, pointing out the need for segregation, to take a look at the way that the organisations that we have created that are supposed to be there to protect us are in actual fact part of the conspiracy against us. And the organizations we have created are actually mainly responsible for the problems that we're now facing as Europeans. The first report that I've got today comes from the UN World Health Organization. The UN World Health Organization, the WHO, is demanding Europe create culturally sensitive, refugee-friendly healthcare systems, which provide equal access to public health services for third world migrants, regardless of their legal status. So what that's basically saying is that we should pay the hospital fees for the entirety of the third world. Any third world migrant that makes it to Europe, the white Europeans should pay for whatever they demand from the hospital. Because don't forget, these people in their own countries, they have no access to doctors. They have no access to hospitals. The whole idea of being able to see a doctor is a novelty to them. They will go to the hospital with a stubbed toe, with a slight headache, with a tummy ache. It's like a trip to the seaside for them. It's a day out. And it means accident and emergency wards are packed to the brim. You can't get to see a doctor for hours yourself if you go in there on an emergency. It means that there are six-month waiting lists for operations now in Britain. And this is before we even look at the cost of this. Then you've got the high incidence of diseases that require very, very expensive treatments, such as AIDS, in Africa. And you can see that our health system, just as it is creaking at the seams and is going to fall apart if something isn't done soon. And the United Nations World Health Organization is demanding that we make our healthcare systems more refugee-friendly. What do they mean by that? Do they mean that we need to have more interpreters? It's bad enough that we have non-white doctors that we can't understand what they're saying, that our elderly people, the people that should be getting most of the benefits from our healthcare system, can't understand the diagnoses that they're given because they can't understand what the doctor is saying. And they're too polite to say anything about it. This is before we get to the fact that 72% of all doctors that are struck off for gross incompetence are foreign. The danger that represents. And now they're saying that we have to pay for these people that have broken into our countries. Don't forget, it's the equivalent of a burglar breaking into your house. We have to pay the medical fees for them. In its first report on the health of non-European migrants living on the continent, WHO Europe cites xenophobia and sovereignism, the defence of national sovereignty, as major barriers in the way of establishing refugee and migrant-friendly healthcare systems across the entire region. Xenophobia, what is that? What is that term? It's saying that There is an irrational fear of foreigners. It's not irrational. It's not irrational to fear that foreigners that invade your country that have paid nothing into the health systems are going to then abuse the health system. It's not irrational to think that. The WHO is telling us this, that we should be making our hospitals foreigner friendly. So it's not a phobia to fear that our hospitals are being turned over to the third world. This proves that. Sovereignism, the defense of national sovereignty, is that a bad thing now? Is that a bad thing to wish to retain national sovereignty, to wish to retain control over the outcomes of your nation, where its resources are directed? What they're saying there is the equivalent of that the head of the home, the head of the family, somehow it's a bad thing for them to wish to retain control over their finances and over what's going on within their own home. I mean, all you have to do to create an allegory for all of this problem that we're facing now with the invasion of the third world is just contrast it to living with your own, within your own home. And with your own family, of course you want to put your own family first. There's nothing wrong with putting your own family first. So what's wrong with wanting to put your nation first? It's the same thing. When somebody breaks into the country, it's the same thing as a burglar breaking into your house. It's worse than a burglar breaking into your house because they rape your daughter. They help themselves to the food in your fridge. They demand to be given the same family surname as you so that they can then claim the inheritance that was there for your children. It's worse than breaking into somebody's home. And these organizations that we have created that should be there to promote our interests are promoting the interests of the illegal immigrants, the burglars, into the home. This is regardless of legal status. This isn't foreigners that have been given citizenship in the country. This is for people that have broken in. According to the globalist health body, which says it is making progress in implementing its goals, well, we should be very worried about that, Europe should provide quality and affordable health coverage as well as social protection for all refugees and migrants, regardless of their legal status, through systems which are culturally and linguistically sensitive. That means putting up with them not wanting to use toilet roll, putting up with them engaging in child marriage and child abuse, and not mentioning the fact that actually it's illegal for them to have a 13-year-old wife. That means not pointing out the fact that their deformed children are the result of them inbreeding and marrying their cousins. So it means not actually pointing out the reasons for a lot of the problems that these non-whites face. And it means that they're demanding that we provide interpreters for these people. People that have never paid a penny into the system. People that have never even developed their own healthcare systems in their own countries. To take it to the extreme, people that never even invented the wheel or a written language, we are being expected to pay for everything, to improve their health when they are of no benefit whatsoever. They just increase. The more you improve their health, the more you improve their living standards in their own countries, the more they increase and the more mouths there are that we have to feed. And not only mouths that we have to feed, according to this, health that we are supposed to be responsible for keeping. In a foreword which describes population movement as a defining phenomena of our time. Now, that looks like wording from the Global Compact for Migration that they signed recently in Morocco. As a result of global economic inequalities, WHO Migration and Health Programme Chief Santino Severoni declares that the contribution of refugees and migrants in developing the societies in which we currently live should not be forgotten, claiming migration has always been a reality for Europe. What contribution from Africa has there been made in developing the societies in which we currently live? The contribution from the Africans has been to increase the violent crime rate, increase the types of violent crime. It's lowered the average IQ of the nation. What contribution have Muslims brought? Rape gangs? Sharia law? No-go areas in our own cities? Yes, they have certainly changed the societies we live in, but they certainly haven't changed them for the better. Just take a look at London. Take a look at the crime rate in London and the areas that white people just cannot even walk in nowadays. And we're not just talking about late at night here. We're talking about during the daytime, there are no-go zones. The most important is the access to health services. To improve their health, it is important to fill the gap for access to basic care, Severoni told AFP. And again, I remind you, this isn't people that are here legally. He's saying we need to improve the health of the people that have broken into Europe. And he's saying that this is somehow a positive thing. And where he's talking about economic inequalities, why are there economic inequalities? The reason why there are economic inequalities is because there are inequalities between peoples. Everybody is not the same under the skin. There are different breeds of white people, let alone different types of human, the different races. There are distinct differences just between the breeds of European, the European nations, let alone the distinct differences between the races of the world, such as the average IQ, for one, which is the best indicator for life outcomes that we have, is IQ. That's the reason why there are economic inequalities. Africa doesn't suffer from racism. Africa has had just about every program and benefit and piece of aid thrown at it in desperation to try and help it to improve its living standards. And Somalia still only has 7% of the country has sanitation and access to water. These people cannot even find their own clean water. Something that white people have been able to do ever since the dawn of history. We've known how to dig wells and find our own water. Animals can find their own clean water, but somehow the Negro can't. Alleging that health is very politicized and used as a tool of fear, Severoni claimed that in the face of people and some governments reacting emotionally when it comes to newcomers because of the lack of information and data, that the report provides a wonderful opportunity to diffuse false myths, misperceptions, and negative narrative. People aren't reacting emotionally to this problem. People are reacting logically to this problem. And it is a problem. They're telling us that we should be celebrating this. We should see this as something positive. The fact that Europe is being invaded by the third world. We're being told not to react emotionally. We're not emotional. We're logical. We're looking at the reality. This guy isn't. This guy will live in a gated community somewhere. He doesn't have to put up with all of this. He has private healthcare. Examples include there being only a very low risk of the host population contracting infectious diseases from third world migrants, despite the widespread assumptions to the contrary, according to the WHO report and press release, both of which evidence this by alleging that a significant proportion of migrants and refugees who are HIV positive acquired the infection after they arrived in Europe. So what? There's a massive amount of blacks that have AIDS in America. It's always blacks that have the most AIDS cases. It doesn't matter what country they are in the world. They are more susceptible to catching AIDS. So whether they have caught AIDS in Europe or whether they've caught AIDS in Africa, the cost to the health service is still exactly the same. The cost of AIDS doesn't change whether you caught it in Africa or whether you caught it in Europe. And that isn't what people are worried about. What people are worried about is the cost to the health service, the strain on the health service, the worry that there might be new diseases that people catch. That is a worry. I mean, they're trying to say here that, that this isn't, and they can counter this, but it is a worry. We've now got monkeypox in Britain. We've got antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea in Europe. We've got tuberculosis again in Britain, in London. In fact, we've got a lot of diseases now which we had eradicated. We'd eradicated for the last 100 years that have been brought back into our countries by these people. What about Ebola? What about this woman that caught Ebola when she was out in Africa? There's definitely a potential for them to bring contagious diseases that we haven't had in our countries before. There's definitely a potential for that. But the biggest worry that people have is the cost and the strain on the health system. And there's no mention of that here. He comes up with this straw man idea that this is what people are worried about, is infectious diseases. The other common misperception, supposedly diffused by facts in the document, is the belief that there are too many refugees and migrants in European nations, with the WHO exposing this as a myth with the statement that international migrants make up only 10% of the total population in the WHO European region. Less than 7.4% of these are refugees. So that's not too many then. Any foreigners in a white country is too many. They all are a potential threat to the biological integrity of the nation. They all want to interbreed with whites. They might not necessarily all do it, but just if you had 10 migrants in a country, you can say at least one out of those 10 is going to start breeding with whites. So you've got that damage that's done to the genetic integrity of the nation. And then you've got the increased fertility of these people. Okay, it's only makes up 10% of the population now. Give it 20 years and it will make up 20% of the population, just with the people that are here now. Don't forget that the white fertility rate is less than replacement. It's something like 1.2. And then you look at the fertility rate of somewhere like Somalia or Kenya or the Congo, and it's eight children they have, not 1.2. So that's going to double every 10 years, just with that 10% that is here now. And then you've got the threat of the inbreeding. And then you've got an even greater threat years on down the line when at first, of course, they're going to be dark and they're going to be quite obvious that they're not white, and they're not going to have the chances of breeding with whites as they may have with lighter skin. But give it a couple of generations, they're going to have lighter skin. They're going to claim to be white, and then they're going to carry on destroying the genome of the nation until Europe looks like India. Don't forget, all this has happened before. India used to be a white country. Egypt used to be a white country. Asia Minor used to be a white country. The Levant used to be white. All these places used to be white, and now they are brown. And the same thing is happening in Europe. That's not a phobia. That's not a phobia. That is the sober reality of looking at what has happened in history. So to say that it doesn't matter because there's only 10% refugees and migrants here now, and that's not including the 10% that were here beforehand, don't forget, they're not including people that came to Europe 70 years ago or people that came to Britain in the Windrush. They claim that they are British people. They're just as British as the British are. That piece of paper is all they need to claim that they look British. I mean, that's what the word British means. It means somebody looks like a Brit. How can a Negro look like a Brit? How can a Pakistani look like a Brit? None of them look anything like Prince Brutus that the name is taken from. Calling for better collection of data on migrant health and for Europe to do more to close disparities in outcome between newcomers and natives. What do they mean by that? Which outcomes is it they're talking about there? Economic outcomes? We should be placing these non-whites in jobs that formerly would have been carried out by white people, regardless of their merit, just giving them the job because they're non-white, because otherwise they're not going to earn the same average money as whites. What's that going to do for the standard of manufacture that we have in our countries? Just the standards of everything are going to drop. The report notes the higher prevalence of mental illness in some refugee populations and demands governments take action to tackle poor socioeconomic conditions such as unemployment in third world immigrant communities. They're pointing out there that they've got higher mental health problems than we have, and yet they're telling us this is a great thing that these people are invading our countries, that we're going to have to spend even more on mental health care just to look after them. In addition, it warns that Western culture poses new health dangers to migrants, as they are likely to eat more unhealthy food and do less physical exercise than they would in their homelands. Well, why don't we encourage them to stay in their homelands then, if they're going to be better off in their homelands, if they're going to be healthier in their homelands? Why are we encouraging them to come to ours? There's one other subject that I haven't spoken about yet, and that is the health problems that are actually caused by the non-whites themselves through inbreeding. A massive amount of the funds for the British National Health Service just goes on the results of non-whites interbreeding. People don't like to talk about it, but it's a fact. I've got the figures here. Pakistanis are responsible for 20% of birth defects in Sheffield, yet they only make up 4% of the population. How could that be? How come they make up five times as many birth defects as their percentage of the population? Pakistanis are responsible for 18% of birth defects in Glasgow, yet they only make up 3.8% of the population. Pakistani birth defects in Birmingham have increased by 43% since 2011. In Manchester, Derby and Leeds, Pakistanis are responsible for 1 in 10 of all birth defects. Birth defects in Luton, where there is a very high percentage of Pakistani Muslims, are 63% higher than the national average. A London borough has found that 1 in 5 child deaths are caused by the parents being related. Children of consanguineous couples accounted for 19% of all the child death cases in Redbridge between 2008 and 2016, the report shows. That's just the ones that died. Think about the ones that lived that are going to require round-the-clock healthcare for the rest of their lives, draining our benefit system, draining our disability benefits, and all the resources that go into trying to mitigate the problems of their consanguineous-caused disease, their congenital deformities. The most important statistic, however, is probably this one. In the UK as a whole, Pakistanis account for 3% of all births, yet they are responsible for 30% of all birth defects. 10 times as many birth defects as there should be. And it's caused by inbreeding. And this WHO report is telling us we should think this is wonderful. We should invite more of these people over. We should devote more of our resources into looking after them. And this is just talking about Pakistan. You imagine how inbred Africa is. Africa's just as bad as Pakistan. And this is a Muslim custom of marrying your cousin. So it's not just limited to Pakistan. It's a custom of their religion to do this. And they will keep doing it. Even when they have children that are born deformed, they will just continue to produce more deformed children because they think eventually Allah will give them a child that isn't deformed. And the child that isn't deformed goes on and marries his cousin, and the whole process begins again. And eventually you end up with a quarter of all the people in the nation being deformed and having congenital defects. What a great strength diversity is. Let's move on to some other statistics. We've just heard about the health problems that these people cause. In Britain, they've just released the crime statistics, and they're wondering what it is that's caused this huge, great increase in crime. Killings rose by 14% to 739 last year, and an increase of 90 homicides recorded in England and Wales than in the previous 12 months. Knife crime rose by 12%, as nearly 40,000 stabbings were reported to police, according to shocking new crime statistics released by the Office for National Statistics yesterday. That brings the average daily total to more than 100 people stabbed every day. Rape increased by 16% to 56,698 offences, and other sex offences rose 13% to 101,464, and about 20% of all those sex offences were against children. Robbery is up by 17%, and there has also been a 24% climb in public order offences, with a total of 427,134 recorded. More than 20% of the population fell victim to crime, according to the survey. And none of these figures include the victims of Islamic terrorist attacks, which statisticians say is continuing an upward trend since March 24, indicating a change to the long-term decrease that we had over the previous decade. I mean, that is massive. This is the highest number in a 12-month period since the year ending March 2004, when there were 6 million offences recorded. What could it be? What could it be that has caused this massive increase in crime that we are seeing? It couldn't possibly be down to immigration, could it? The fact that London is the main area for these crimes, and London is 60% non-white, that couldn't be the cause of this, could it? 20% of all the murders took place in London. If you look at areas which are still 95% plus white, you will find that they don't even have a murder rate. They don't even have statistics for the number of people murdered, because nobody gets murdered. If you look at the one and only time they investigated to see the race responsible for this, which was in 2010, which was by a Freedom of Information Act, you'll find that the majority of all of these violent crimes were actually carried out by blacks. And what have they done about it? What have they done about the fact that blacks are responsible for the majority of violent crime in this country, the increasing violent crime that we see in this country? Well, they did a David Lammy report, and they said that it was racism that was to blame, and that the way to deal with it was to give lesser sentences to blacks, if you sentence them at all. And a directive was given out to judges that when they are sentencing blacks, they have to bear in mind that they might have been called names before in the past. They might have been the victims of racism. So because of that, they should avoid a prison sentence, if possible. And another part of the report said that we need to have black judges, obviously because the white judges are biased against blacks. We need to have more black police, because the white police are just picking on these blacks. They're just completely innocent. But of course, when you look at the figures for the victims of crime and the accusations that they make, it's the victims of crime that say it was a black guy that did this to me. It's not the police just going out and randomly arresting and charging Negroes for crimes. The majority of violent crime is carried out by blacks. And the reasons that they're giving for this increase in violent crime, the reasons that they're choosing to give today, is that because there's been an increase in the purity of drugs. But it doesn't matter what the purity is of a drug. It's essentially the same drug. People need to take whatever amount it is of the drug. If it's impure, they need to take more of it. If it's more pure, then they need to take less of it. That isn't the cause of the increase in crime. That isn't the reason why there's been a 14% increase in crime. I dare say if you look at the increase in immigration, that's probably about 14% as well. If you look at the areas where the crime is concentrated, you find that they're all non-white areas. They're black areas. They tend to describe them as deprived areas, economically deprived. Why are they economically deprived? They're economically deprived because they have blacks and non-whites living in them. Diversity is not a strength. Diversity is a disease. Our nation has a disease. It has foreign bodies within it. The same as if you have a foreign body within your body, the antibodies come out and they isolate it and they expel it from the body to prevent it causing damage to you. The nation is a living nation, a living biological being of our people. And it can't function in the way that it should do because it is contaminated with alien bodies. And the more we allow it to go on, the higher the crime rate's going to get, the more violent the crime is going to get, until we separate. Nature cannot stand back and watch races destroy themselves. We don't look like each other. We don't behave like each other. And when we live among each other, we rub each other up the wrong way. And the more we import these foreigners into our nations, the more violent they're going to become. You can look back through history. It started out with a few muggings, then a few house break-ins, then the drugs gangs, then the prostitution, then the grooming gangs, then the terrorism, then the beheadings, the machete attacks, the acid attacks. Where are we going to be in 10 years' time? What novel ways of killing one another will they have then? And eventually, one race has to triumph. And that's going to be very bloody when it happens. And we need to do everything we can to avoid that. We need to avoid the violent outcome that is the logical result of diversity. If we can, we need to avoid that. The way to avoid it is to offer them incentives to go back home. Stop the invasion of our country. Close the borders. Refuse their access to healthcare. Refuse their access to education. Encourage them to go back. Offer them cash bonuses to go back to their own countries so they can go back to their own countries and rebuild them. And anyone that commits crimes that's here should be deported. That's the way to deal with it. That's the way to get the crime statistics down. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan.